Gnosis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our title for today is The Three Spiritual Festivals. And there's something about large groups of people getting together and hoping for the best, praying for the best, and perhaps even focusing on one particular positive thought that seems to have a lot of power to it. And that particular idea is tangential to what we're going to speak about today. The Festival of Easter, the Wesak Festival, and the Festival of Goodwill. The time is coming when all three festivals will be kept throughout the world, and by their means a great spiritual unity will be achieved. And that's from the founder of Lucis Trust, Alice Bailey. And Alice Bailey has spent a lot of time writing literature, and all of the dialogue that emanates from this show emanates from all of her 24 volumes of books. She wrote 24 volumes of books. I guess they can best be defined as spiritual philosophy. And today also we're giving a gift to you today, so stay with us and we'll talk more about that gift. But let's get on with our show. What's the significance of these three festivals?
Well, having participated in them for almost 30 years now, I can say without a doubt that they are the most powerful spiritual moment of the year. Every year when what we call the higher interlude rolls around, the time of the three spiritual festivals, usually in the months of April, May, and June, but this year in March, April, and May, there's a sense of a real momentum building spiritually, a kind of a marshalling of spiritual energies that we feel as a worldwide group. But how to convey the significance of these festivals is a little more challenging, because they are events that really have their impact in consciousness. And it's hard to convey the significance of something that occurs in consciousness, because that develops and manifests its effects over a long period of time and in a very subtle way. So we can't point to any particular drama or exterior effect of these festivals, but we can try to explain to our listeners what the significance is in consciousness.
These festivals have been gone on. They have been present in the world for centuries, actually, and for thousands of years. So they're for those who work on the inner side of life, they're not new festivals. They're new to us, perhaps, here in the West, because they're, as you said, they take place. The significance of it, the impact really happens in human consciousness. And as human consciousness expands and becomes more sensitive, we become more sensitive to these inner events that are taking place. And there is an event that goes on with each one of these festivals, although not so physically, perhaps, but we can't see it, but we do know that they do go on.
We have perhaps reached a point in human evolution when a more massive participation in the festivals is possible. And today there are meditation gatherings that are organized by groups of people at the time of these festivals, literally throughout the world. We know of such meetings taking place throughout Africa and South America, as well as Europe, North America, Vietnam, the Philippines, Japan. So the festivals are worldwide and becoming of more interest. I think it's because humanity is reaching a point where there is a real hunger for sense of the common ground among world religions. And in spite of what's going on in the world today in terms of religious strife, there is a parallel and I think much more widespread desire to have religious unity among people of different traditions. And that's part of the appeal of the festivals.
Yes, because as the opening quote says, the time is coming when all three festivals will be kept throughout the world and they will produce a unity among the spiritually minded peoples of the world. And that's because the central figures, or the central participants in these festivals on the inner planes are the main festival, the main characters in the major world religions of Christianity and Buddhism and Hinduism. And that's where the relationship to all these religions comes together.
Yeah, we've talked before about how Buddha arose out of the Hindu tradition in India and spent his 80 years on earth teaching spiritual doctrine that's now become the religion of Buddhism, but there is a close affinity between a lot of the Buddhist principles and the Hinduism from which they arose, and the same with Christianity, which has its foundation in Judaism. The Judeo-Christian ethic is of great importance to the West. So there is this merging of Eastern and Western approaches to spiritual belief that is emphasized at the time of the festivals. It begins with the festival of Easter, which, as we all know, is the great Western and Christian festival. Unfortunately, in today's times, when you hear Easter, you think of Easter bunnies and eggs and new spring clothes, but there is more to it than that.
Oh, really?
Yes, there is.
Chocolate?
Chocolate, yes, chocolate Easter bunnies. Easter, in the view of the ageless wisdom, is the release of spiritual energies that quicken the human mind. It's said in the Ageless Wisdom that the spiritual force that pours into the world at the time of Easter emanates from the mind of God. And our listeners who know the great invocation, which we sound at the end of the program, know that the first stanza invokes light from the mind of God. And it's this force that pours into the world at the time of Easter and quickens human thinking and human intelligence so that we can approach our own human created problems with new insight, maybe new creativity, new planning.
Right. And it's traditionally Easter has been the time of the crucifixion, of course, of Christ and the resurrection. And it is still the festival in which the risen Christ is celebrated. And that's the real significance of the of this festival, because it represents the risen Christ, the living and spiritual evidence of the Christ Spirit in the world.
The forces that are associated with this Easter festival are said to be the forces of restoration. And these are described in a book that Alice Bailey wrote called The Externalization of the Hierarchy, if people want to read more about the forces. But the forces of restoration have their effect mainly, it's said, on psychological levels. So when we speak of restoration, we're not talking about restoring old institutions or forms of any sort, but of restoring humanity to a psychological health, to vivify the morale of humanity. And when you think of what's happening in the world today, how meaningful the Easter festival is in terms of a restoration of psychological well-being within humanity after all the terror and grief, not only in America, but just look at what's happening in India just this at this very moment with the terrible strife between Muslims and Hindus. There are large parts of the world that have experienced terrible grief and terror, and the idea of forces coming into the world that would work toward a restoration of psychological well-being would, I would think, inspire anyone to want to work with those forces in meditation and give them strength and distribution.
Yes, it's the emphasis of the main energy, I think, that's present, because it is the has to do with the Christ, is the energy of love, and love and wisdom. And that's the primary energy that is present during this festival and is emphasized during this festival. And we might say that this is, of course, the spring. It's always determined by the spring and by the equinox, and the first full moon of the spring, and which usually occurs in March.
No, usually occurs in April.
April, okay. But sometimes in March.
Yeah.
So that is also a significant too, because all of these festivals are associated with a particular time of the month, having to do with the time of the full moon.
We've talked about that before, and it may strike some as rather odd until you think about the fact that Passover, Easter, Ramadan are all calculated according to the lunar cycle. So it's not that unusual.
No, the time of the full moon, esoterically, the time of the full moon each month is like an open door, as it's been described in the Bailey teachings, that it's like an open door and the energies pour in freely, unimpeded. That's because the moon is out of the way, and we have this indirect inflow of energy of love that's flowing in, and that's what we work with in meditation.
Does all of this, and there's certainly very noble, and there's so much to it, and it's a lot to do with divinity, and there's so much meaning to it. Do all three festivals have anything to do with mankind actualizing his highest potential? And if so, how? And what is man's highest potential, I guess, is another question.
Well, yeah, you stopped me in my tracks. Yes, I guess they do. What they have to do with the potential within humanity is that they invoke the spiritual source, which is the soul. They stimulate the realm of consciousness, which is the soul consciousness, and quicken the inner divinity within humanity. And not only does it have its effects within those who participate in the festivals, but we can also radiate these energies into human consciousness in a massive level. In other words, you can reach human beings with the radiation of energy through group meditation, even though they may not be aware of or even particularly desirous of the impact of these spiritual energies. Still, if they are people that are people of goodwill and of some intelligence, some mental capacity, they will respond. Mm-hmm. So this time of the festivals is a moment when we can work to radiate energies of light and love into human consciousness and have more of an effect than in any other time of the year, because there is this door that is open, as mm-hmm. Dale said.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that the emphasis on the soul brings out this idea of relationship, and that's essentially what the three festivals will accomplish, as it says in the quote there, in the future. And it will bring together a humanity and a greater sense of unity and oneness, because they will recognize their relationship with the divine by way of these three festivals.
I see. Well, for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And today our topic is the three spiritual festivals, and we have a gift for you today. And our gift is a very interesting booklet called, the title is The Wesak Festival, A Technique of Spiritual Contact, and it's quite comprehensive, it's very interesting, and if you'd like to order the booklet, you can certainly do so by calling the following toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247, that's 1-866-695-8247, and we'll be happy to send it out to you free of charge. And also, if you'd like to order any of our books, as we mentioned before, the every thought, every discussion, all the dialogue that is spoken in the show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey. She's the founder of Lucis Trust, and the most of the dialogue today comes from the book called The Externalization of the Hierarchy, which you're certainly welcome to order directly from us. If you want a discount, you can order all 24 volumes, and we'll be able to give you a discount on our books, 10% discount. Of course, you can order them from Amazon.com or Borders or Barnes & Noble, but if you want the discount, order them directly from us at the toll-free number. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. And if you key into our website, you can listen to any of our previously archived library of radio shows, and we have many now. And our email is newyork@lucistrust.org. And once again, if you want that gift, the booklet, the title of which is The Wesak Festival, what we're talking about today, A Technique of Spiritual Contact, you can certainly order it from us. We'll be happy to send it out to you free of charge. An easy way to remember the number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And remember that the work of Lucis Trust, including this program, is funded entirely by voluntary donations. So we welcome your support as a means of staying on the air. Let's get back to our talk about the three spiritual festivals. Sarah, what do you have anything more to say about it?
Well, maybe we should mention that this year the Festival of Easter will be celebrated on March 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should move on to the second of the festivals, the Wesak Festival, which will be celebrated on April 26th this year. It's the Great Buddhist Festival, and there is a bit of dispute between the people who follow the Ageless Wisdom approach to Buddhism and the more traditional Buddhists who observe this festival on the full moon of May. Whereas the Ageless Wisdom relates the Festival of Wesak to the full moon of Taurus, which this year comes in late April, and that's why it's being observed on April 26th. So I should just warn some people that there might be a bit of a divergence of opinion on when the true Wesak is celebrated. But the reason that the full moon is the moment is because the Buddha is said to have been born on the full moon of Taurus, to have attained his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree at the full moon of Taurus, and to have died at that full moon also. So it is very definitely the full moon of the Buddha, and it is the high point of the spiritual year in the tradition of the Ageless Wisdom. It's the moment of supreme energy stimulation in terms of the forces that pour into the world at that time. And to me, that's absolutely thrilling to think about, that our world is subject to the impact of spiritual energies. We might not be accustomed to thinking in those terms. We might think that we have to resolve all of our problems that we have created through our own effort, and we do, but we mustn't lose sight of the fact that we are aided by powerful spiritual energies. And at the time of Wesak, the energies are the forces of enlightenment, which work especially, it said, through those who serve in the fields of education and through the media, through communication, through workers in those areas, these forces of enlightenment can pour into the world at the time of Vaisak. And when we have our group meditations, we can help to stimulate and radiate those forces.
And maybe we should say, too, that this is not a commemoration for,
no.
even though physically the Buddha might have died centuries ago.
Well, he did die.
He's still very much alive on the inner side. And he acts as an intermediary between the Godhead and the Christ at this very particular festival. And in fact, it, as I said, it's not a commemoration for something that happened way in the past. It's an ongoing event that is an actual event that happens every year. And it takes place in a secluded valley up in the mountains of Tibet. And it's a fascinating, and just rather than go into the whole thing right here, there is a fascinating description of this festival in that booklet that we're offering today for our listeners if they want to order a copy.
We've seen video tape of the mm-hmm. Tibetan Buddhist pilgrims who do go to this mountain, Mount Kailash, every year
right.
on this pilgrimage.
Yes,
it is very definitely a living festival.
It's a definite place in, mm-hmm. in Tibet, and it does take place. It's not just a commemoration of something that happened centuries ago. But
they believe deeply in the reality of this release mm-hmm. of energy and make a tremendous pilgrimage. Some of them a real physical hardship.
That's right.
Travel for days and days, if not weeks.
We had friends of ours that attended this festival some years ago, and they videotaped the whole thing, and it's quite fascinating.
Yeah.
The trip just to get there is...
Masses of Buddhists who converge on this valley hidden in the Himalayas at this moment of the full moon. Those of us who can't travel there can gather in meditation groups, and there are meditations that are held all over the world at that time. So you can participate subjectively, and through meditation, in consciousness, to uplift humanity.
Even Alice Bailey said in this description of the Vaisak festival that she attended that festival herself in a dream state two times. Other friends of hers also attended it in the same way. So it takes place on different levels. I mean, mm-hmm. there is that outer physical level that can be seen, and then there is the inner spiritual level where the Buddha returns every year to give his blessing from God to the assembled hierarchical members there, and then this energy is held in trust by the Christ and the members of the hierarchy for distribution.
That's an unusual idea to think about, that the Buddha and the Christ work in cooperation on behalf of humanity, but that's very much the theme of Vaisak and the following festival, which is called the Festival of Goodwill or the Festival of Humanity, which is observed this year on May 25th. And at that time, the spiritual impulse or impact that has been brought into the world by the Buddha and held by the Christ on behalf of humanity is released into human consciousness at the full moon of Gemini. And it's a day when a deep love urge is quickened within humanity. And I can remember myself several festivals of humanity when the sense of love has been overwhelming. It's a very quiet, calm energy that I think is associated with the spirit of peace who rules over our planet, but it is a beautiful, quiet, deeply calm wave of love that washes over the world at that time.
Yes, it's referred to as the Festival of Goodwill, mm-hmm. sometimes the Festival of Unification. I think that's
another name for it.
Mm-hmm. Or the Christ Festival is also it's called. And it's significant, I think, to mention that all three of these festivals, the Christ is present. He is the central figure mm-hmm. in all three, the Easter festival, the Wesak festival, he stands and receives the energy directly from the Buddha. And then in the Christ festival, or the festival of goodwill, a month later, he acts as a distributor. And with the assembled hierarchy, he acts as a distributor into human consciousness. And this energy is then radiated into human consciousness.
I think we should mention, when we speak of Christ, we don't mean the traditional Christian view of Jesus, but the being greater than that, who is known as the world teacher, and who we're told is recognized and known by people of all faiths, but by different names. It's the Christ who came for all humanity, and it's he that we speak of when we speak of these festivals. So one need not be a Christian to be able to take part in them or be affected by them. That's a very important point. Christ said, "Other sheep have I not of this fold, them also must I bring." And he was referring to his identification with the whole of humanity. There's also the forces of materialism that we should mention. It's a very interesting phrase associated with the three spiritual festivals. They are said to concern the new materialism, which has to do with the spiritualization of matter and the materialization of spirit. In other words, bringing together spirit and matter so that divinity on earth can be fully manifested. That's what lies behind the observance of these festivals year after year, century after century. This spiritualization of earth will happen only through human cooperation and consent. It can't be imposed upon us. And so, as I understand it, these forces are quickening within the human mind and heart the urge to cooperate with the divine plan.
And all of this is kind of a forerunner type of work that is ushering in the new kingdom of God, the kingdom of souls on earth, and eventually in the future, under that kingdom, these festivals will grow in prominence.
Well, I hope that all of you find it within you to find the time to order our free booklet. We'll be happy to send it out to you. Give us a call at 1-866-NY-LUCIS or 1-866-695-8247. We'll be happy to send it out to you free of charge. And that's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You have been listening to Inner Sight. Now we'd like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.